Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson of the day found in Matthew 7. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. You do not gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, do you? So then, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and drive out demons in your name, and perform many miracles in your name? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on bedrock. The rain came down, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. But it did not fall, because it was founded on bedrock. Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. It was completely destroyed. When Jesus finished speaking these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, and not like their experts in the law. This is our text. Dear people of God, everyone in Door County is wise. You have all built your houses upon the rock. Not that you had any other choice, but when it comes to choosing the foundation for your house, the Lord would say, you chose wisely. As for all your other choices, well, we won't get into that right now. Much more important than choosing the foundation for your house is choosing the foundation for your faith. Now, most people choose to base their faith on themselves. Most people think that they will get into a good place after this world because of their own deeds and actions. Others, as has been revealed, are trusting in people of all things for their help and safety and salvation. I don't know where they ever got that idea from. It's certainly not from Scripture. The Lord clearly says in Psalm 146, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Trusting in people for justice or salvation is not wise. It never has been. We trust in God. And that's not just the right answer. It's not just lip service. That's what we do. We trust in God for everything, for safety, for salvation, for every breath in the day. We are saved by believing in the Trinity alone. We are God's people. And that means that we trust him and believe in him and listen to him. Be wise. Be wise for salvation and be wise enough to be able to discern the wolf from the sheep. Now in verse 21 here of Matthew 7, Jesus plainly says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that is absolutely shocking. That is terrifying. That is supposed to be. When we read that, you are supposed to say, well, that could be me. Not everyone who says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I say, Lord, Lord, as I pray to him every day. Am I the one who doesn't get in? Am I doing something that disqualifies me from my heavenly home? And that's exactly the point. This is law. This is harsh law. With these words, Jesus is driving every one of us to our knees. He's driving us to repentance, that we would cry out and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm not what I'm supposed to be. I haven't done the will of the Father in heaven. I haven't done everything right like I'm supposed to. God, have mercy. God, forgive me. God, save me. And of course he does. For you who look to Jesus, for you who love Jesus, he is your Savior. He is the God of mercy. As he promises, Jesus saves sinners like you. And we need to be reminded every day that we are sinners, so we don't become complacent and lazy. We need to be driven to repentance because our old Adam doesn't want to go there. The Holy Spirit needs to lead us into repentance, that we always remember why it is we're saved. Not because we're so wonderful, but because our God is so merciful. What a better world this would be if everyone walked around like that every day, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Rather than what's going on now, people saying, get out of my way, I'm right, I know best. So much better is if everyone walked around saying, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sure I sinned. Because I sin all day long, not even knowing what I'm doing. But I live in the mercy and grace of Christ, and so do you. But that's not how the world works. And we all know that. And so Jesus has to go on. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name? I've told you before that no one is saved through the miracles. No one was ever converted because they witnessed a miracle. And Jesus takes it a step further here. Jesus says no one was ever saved because they performed a miracle. It goes back to that very first idea of what people trust. Those who trust in themselves, those who trust in their own power, those who trust in their own spirituality will not be saved. No, the Lord will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers, into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord has no time for those who use the word for their own goals, who twist the word of God. Those who say, this is what the Lord says, or this is what God wants us to do, when he clearly has not said that. And to drive that point home, Jesus uses the picture of these two guys building houses. The one builds his house on the rock. And if he built a good solid house, that house will stand, because the rock will fight against the forces of gravity trying to tear that house down. The other man builds his house on the sand, which can easily slide away. And even if that house is built well, one day it will fall into the cavern that the sand makes, and it will fall. Now, what I want you to notice especially here is what happens to each of the houses. Each of them has the floods rise against it. Each of them has the rain pour down upon it. And each of them has the wind blow against it. Every house, every person, every Christian will be attacked in this world. And it comes from all directions. Will you stand? Will you be able to endure all of the attacks with your faith intact until the end? Will you be able to stand in the true faith until the day the Lord Jesus comes back and takes us into his visible kingdom of heaven, where sin is no more and no longer torments? Will you be able to stand until that day? Well, it depends. Who do you trust? Do you trust in yourself, or do you trust in the Lord? This wind that blows, that tests your faith, that attacks you, that tries to beat you down, is from the wolf. The wolf who huffs and puffs. Now, the wolf is not the devil. The devil in the Bible is a snake or a lion. But the wolf is certainly in league with the devil. The wolf is the false teacher. And it is the wise person's job to watch out for the wolf, be able to identify him, and then not fall for his tricks when he comes. So watch out. Don't let your guard down. As long as we are in this world, we are still in danger. The wolf comes in sheep's clothing. That is, he looks good. He talks good. Very smooth talker. What he says makes good human common sense until you line it up with what God's word actually says. The wolf will allude to the Bible. He may even quote a few passages. But it will sound off, because he is still a wolf in sheep's clothing. That wolf in sheep's clothing is never quite comfortable. He doesn't look quite right. There's something wrong. And to the trained ear, you will be able to hear it. Be on the alert, because the smooth talking wolf comes. Don't fall for it so quickly. The Lord Jesus says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. You will, if you're careful and listen carefully. Identify the wolf. My wife and I play this game where I sit in my chair, she sits on the couch, and she tells me things that are on Facebook. Things that are just awful. But people are boasting about them. And I finally say, would you get off Facebook? And she turns to me and says, then you get off Twitter. Which I don't want to do, because Twitter is awesome. Twitter is lawless. It's raw. People will say anything on there, and it's the most awful, awful things. But it's my way of watching the wolf. It's how I see what the modern thinking is. And she's right, I should get off of that garbage. But I probably won't. I'm watching for the wolf. be fooled. This garbage is all around us. It's not just on Facebook and Twitter, but it's on our morning and evening news. It's in our local newspaper. It's on the radio. And don't forget the original false teacher, who's alive and well inside each and every one of us, that old Adam, who doesn't want to do God's will, but fights against it every opportunity he gets. We will be tested. Wind, rain, floods, all directions, it comes. What chance do we have? How can we possibly stand? Well, be patient. Wait. Don't run after every new thing, every new teaching, every interesting word. The wise man sits and listens quietly. And then he thinks for a while, and then he acts. Test everything, Paul told the Thessalonians. Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Fill yourself with Scripture. If you want to avoid the bad teaching, fill yourself with the good teaching. Read your Bibles. Moses told us today to write them, tie them on your wrists, he said. And the idea is to have the word right here, where you read it. But then be sure to look down and read the thing. Drives me crazy. People will have Bible passages even tattooed on their bodies that they don't know what it means. The best thing we have in our city are people who know their Bibles and are able to argue with and question our preachers. Pastor, why did you say that? What in Scripture lets you make that point? Love Jesus and listen to him. Love his word and use it. For the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.